Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Fantastic. Well, here at North Point, we have said that 2023 is our year of
legacy.
That's right, our year of legacy, and we want to live the legacy that we want to leave. We have to live the legacy that we want to leave. And I'm a little hot. I'm getting some feedback up here. So if we could make an adjustment there in the mic, that would be fantastic. Right now we are in a summer series entitled Ready, Set, Move. You see, wow, that really sounds familiar. Yeah, that was the song you just heard from the VBS, okay? So we paired those things together, ready, set, move. And we've been looking in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, what we refer to as the Hall of Fame of Faith. Many of the people in the Old Testament, their stories are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And we get to see and read about the legacies that they left, the legacies they left. And last week we talked about Moses, and we're going to continue on in his story. But last week we looked at some things that Moses could have potentially allowed to stop his faith journey. And the things that Moses, that could have stopped Moses in his faith journey are the exact same things that could stop us in our faith journey as well. And we looked at four things last week. We talked about a difficult upbringing. We talk about an angry outburst. We talk about resolute rejection. We talked about knockdown moments. That these four things that Moses experienced, they could have prevented him or inhibited him from going on this journey of faith. But we kind of came to this conclusion that his dark moments did not define his legacy. Instead, his movement did. His ability to get back up and take one more step forward. And here's what I would tell you today, that the same thing that Moses did, we can do. We don't have to allow the dark moments of our lives. We don't have to allow the difficult upbringing, the angry outburst. We don't have to allow the rejection. We don't have to allow those knockdown moments when we lose everything that we had worked so hard for. We don't have to let those moments define our lives. Instead, we can be like Moses and just let our movement define our life by just taking one more step forward. And we kind of culminated last week with this idea in John chapter 8, verse 12, where Jesus said this. He says, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." You won't have to live in darkness. You don't have to stay in darkness. You do not have to live in the dark moments. Why? Because Jesus came as the light that leads us to life. Eternal life and abundant life here on this earth. But let's remember something today. That a real faith journey, right? A real faith journey is messy. A real faith journey is confusing. A real faith journey is up and down. A real faith journey looks more like a roller coaster, right, than it does steps just going up and to the right in your life. And here's many times our problem. Our problem is that we know our life is always messy, but we think their life was only miraculous. And this is the trouble, because we know who we are. We know what our life looks like. And we know that our life is messy. But when we think about Abraham and Moses and David and Gideon and Sarah and these heroes that are mentioned in Hebrews 11, when we think about them, we think that their life was only miraculous. Mm-hmm. But friends, can I tell you, nothing is further from the truth. When you read their story, did they have miracle moments? Absolutely. But the middle was so messy. The middle was so messy. And whenever we read of Moses' story in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 27, this is what it says. It says, "By faith, when Moses left Egypt, he left Egypt not fearing the king's anger. He persevered." Everybody say persevered.
Persevered.
How many of you know you don't have to persevere through your favorite dessert? There's no need, right? You no need to persevere in the enjoyment, right? You might have to persevere through the broccoli, but not Andy's frozen custard, right? You know, I mean, you have to persevere. You might have to persevere through the workout, but you don't have to persevere through the vacation unless you take your kids, right? You don't have to persevere through the good, right? You don't have to persevere through the good. And so here's what it says about Moses, that he persevered, which lets us know that there were challenges, which lets us know there were problems, which lets us know that this journey that Moses was on was a difficult journey. And it says that he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. He had his eyes on the creator, on the invisible God. And we're going to pick up Moses' story from last week. And Moses has just ran out of Egypt. Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, is trying to kill Moses. Moses is roughly 40 years old at this time. And we see Moses running out of Egypt. And he runs 7 to 10 days until he gets to this place called Midian. And when he gets to Midian, he sits down by this water well, and he sits down in Midian, and he would actually end up staying there for the next 40 years of his life. Just as a reference, Moses is going to live to be 120. So we see three seasons in Moses' life. We see the season that he lived in Egypt. We see the season that he lived in Midian. And then we see the season of him bringing God's people out of Egypt and living in the wilderness for another 40 years. But 40 years he spent here in Midian, in this middle of his life. And it was in Midian that he would actually get married. In Midian, he would have children. And I just wonder, like, during those 40 years, if you ever think, I mean, I wonder what Pastor Philip is doing today. I'm thinking about things like this. Did Moses ever daydream about the pleasures and the privileges of the palace? In 40 years in Midian, did he ever think about his people that he ran away from? Did he think about their oppression? Did he ever pray for them? Did he ever pray in those 40 years for his people? In those 40 years, did he ever long to go back? Did he never want to go back? I think the answer is a little bit of yes to all of that. Because sometimes we forget Moses was just human. Moses was just like you, and he was just like me. And the Bible says that one day Moses was tending the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro, and God shows up. And I want to read this story to you. It's found in Exodus chapter 3. And this is towards the end of those 40 years that Moses has spent in Midian. And so Moses is close to 80 years old at this time. And this is what it says in Exodus chapter 3. It says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming closer to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. The land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, all the Ites, they now live. Look! the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh, and you must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? And who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Well, it's so interesting to me in this story that whenever God speaks out of the burning bush and he says, Moses, Moses, Moses says, here I am. But Moses still doesn't know who I am. Moses knows that he is there, but Moses still does not know who he is. Wow. And today I want to just give you three things to think about in your faith journey. And then three excuses that Moses makes that are probably going to hit close to home for all of us. Because the excuses that Moses makes are common excuses that we can all potentially make. So let me give you three things to think about in your faith journey, in this messy journey, in this confusing journey, in this journey of following God that is up and it is down. Let me give you three things to ponder and think about in your faith journey. And number one is this: dark moments can leave deep scars. We talked about the dark moments, right, that Moses went through. We talked about that difficult upbringing, the angry outburst, the resolute rejection, the knockdown moments. And dark moments can leave really deep scars. Why? Because as humans, we all have emotional needs. There are psychological and social requirements that we need as human beings. Things like belonging and connection, things like recognition and appreciation, things like competence and mastery, things like safety and security, things like meaning and purpose. And all of those things have been disturbed in Moses' story. And we need to understand in our journey that dark moments can create deep scars. I would say it to you this way today, that just because it's in your past doesn't mean it's not impacting your present and therefore shaping your future. Right. Right. Just because it's in your past doesn't mean that it is not affecting your present and therefore shaping your future. And because we know this to be true, there are things that we offer here as a church, and we say, hey, you need to go through our freedom group. Yes. You might say, well, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm not a drug addict. No. Freedom is not just about alcohol, it's not just about drugs. Freedom is that sometimes we need freedom from our own behaviors. Right. We need to get some freedom from the unforgiveness that we've carried for the last 20 years. We need to get freedom from some of our issues. And so we encourage everybody to go through our freedom group, because sometimes we say, well, that's in my past, but just because it's in your past doesn't mean it's not affecting your present.
Come on, say that.
It's why we have pastoral counseling. It's why there's professional counseling. Why? Because these things help us navigate the present and shape a better future.
Right.
Because there's a myth. There's a myth that time will heal things.
Right.
And I say it's a myth because it's not true. There's a myth that time will fix it. But 40 years has gone by.
Come on, Coach.
And Moses knows where he is, but not who he is.
Oh, come on, babe. 40 years,
Moses has not figured out the most basic question of life, of who am I and why am I here? Time doesn't fix it. Time doesn't heal it. Moses' story proves that. Dark moments can leave deep scars. Here's the second thing that Moses' journey shows us, is that deep scars can leave secret fears. Deep scars can leave secret fears. When you experience trauma and disappointment and rejection and loss, When people let you down and when you have betrayed yourself so many times and let yourself down so many times, events like these can create secret fears, and then secret fears find their way in the driver's seat of our life. And these secret fears begin to show up as these internalized negative beliefs. And these internalized negative beliefs begin to drive our life. Damaged trust begins to determine where our life is going and the direction that our life is moving. Well, we begin to enter into something that's called a subconscious conditioning. And this is when the subconscious operates even below your conscious awareness. And your subconscious begins to shape your attitudes and your behaviors. And you don't even realize the influence that this is having from past events in your life. And now your subconscious is determining your present, and it's shaping your future, and it's operating at a level that you don't even know it's happening. Why? Because deep scars can leave secret fears. Now, maybe Moses talked to Zipporah, his wife. Maybe he opened up to Jethro, his father-in-law, about these fears. Maybe he did. There's no record in the Bible that he actually did that. But I would say I doubt it. These were secret fears until God squeezed them out of Moses. They were secret fears until God exposed them and made them come to the surface. Because what we find in these secret fears is that these secret fears, when we're living in secret fears, we can develop some defense mechanisms and we can develop some coping strategies. And listen, when I say secret fears, I'm not talking about that you've never told anybody that you're afraid of snakes, okay? I'm not talking about being afraid of spiders. What I'm talking about is I've never opened up about the secret fears of I am scared to death to be alone. I am deathly afraid of failing God. I am afraid of embarrassing myself. I am afraid of being seen as unqualified and not intelligent. I am terrified. I am afraid. And they are secret fears that sit in the driver's seat of our life because we have deep scars that came from the dark moments that we've never dealt with. And these secret fears are secretly driving our lives. And I say secretly because we're not even aware of it. And these secret fears, here's the third thing that we need to ponder, is that secret fears can create solid excuses. See, when God pressed on the secret fear of Moses, what we get out of Moses is excuses. And that's the way sometimes that fear will present itself externally, but you need to know how fear operates internally. Because we don't just need to wait until this moment where God or somebody else presses on our secret fears. We need to know what do secret fears look like internally so that I can deal with it on the inside before it ever comes out on the outside. Yeah, come on. Secret fears on the inside, they look like anxiety. I'm anxious because of what might possibly happen in the future, that I could be exposed, that somebody might find out. I live in anxiety. I operate with low self-esteem. I have negative thought patterns. The negative thought patterns are on a loop in my mind and they never go away. Feelings of stress and pressure are constant. Hopelessness can rule and reign in seasons of your life. See, this is the way that secret fears show up internally. But whenever those secret fears get exposed, those secret fears are often accompanied with solid excuses. And I don't just say excuse, I say solid excuses. Because we always have a reason, right? There is a reason why I'm like this. The reason I'm like this is because this is the way my dad was. The reason I'm like this is because I have been betrayed. The reason I am like this is because somebody special to me left me. The reason I am like, we've got solid excuses They are solid excuses. And here's what we think. We think that the event causes the excuse. But the event doesn't cause the excuse. Our secret fears do. The event doesn't cause the excuse. It's the secret fears that create the excuse. This is why two people can go through the exact same thing in the past, but they are having two completely different experiences in life in the present. They've been through the same stuff, the same thing. The story is the same. The past is the same, but their present is drastically different. And the trajectory of their future is not even close. And we say, how is that possible? It's because the event doesn't create the excuse. It's the secret fears that we let linger that create the excuse. That's what we talk about, right? We've shared this before, but the formula E plus R equals O, it stands for event plus response equals outcome. Event plus response equals outcome, because my response matters. The event doesn't equal the outcome. Just because this is the way that my mom treated me, this is the way that my ex-spouse treated me, this is the way that my boss treated me, the event doesn't equal the outcome. I have a response, and my response matters. Because your life is not strictly determined by what you went through. Your life is not just determined by what you went through. Your life is determined by what you do with what you go through. What do you do with the dark moments? What do you do with the deep scars? What do you do with those fears? What do you do with these things? And maybe today, maybe you currently have some excuses that have come, you have some solid excuses, they've come from those secret fears, maybe you do. Hey, listen, so did Moses. And so I just want to tell you today, listen, you're in good company. Because Moses is in the Hall of Fame of Faith. So before you get all stressed out and think, oh God, my dark moments, they created deep scars. Oh my God, I got excuses right now. Hey, you are in good company. There is a person in the Hall of Fame, and all they had when God pressed on them was excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. Let's see some of these excuses that were present in Moses, and I think that they might speak to us as well today. Here's number one. The first excuse that we see this limiting belief about identity. A limiting belief about identity. We read it just a moment ago in verse 11, but Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" Listen, this is the typical I can't response, right? It's the typical I can't response. But listen to me. I cannot often comes from I am not. I cannot comes from I am not. I am what Moses was telling God after God said, I want you to go to Pharaoh. I'm going to have you lead all of God's people out of Egypt. And Moses says, I am not that. I am not that. But I do know what I am. I am a failure. And I am a fraud. And I am a fugitive. And I am rejected. I know what I am when it comes to that, but I know what I'm not. I am not a deliverer, and I am not a leader, and I am not that person that you are talking about. That's not who I am. So my am not gets my I cannot. I cannot because I am not. He had this limiting belief about his identity. And listen, God was so kind to Moses, and because God was so kind to Moses, it lets us know that God's going to be so kind to us. When we say, I'm not, I cannot, God, because I am not, God was so kind. In verse 12, this is how God answered Moses. And he says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you, Moses. It's okay. I'm going to be, Moses, you're not going to be alone. I am going to be with you. And then it leads to Moses' second excuse. His second excuse is this, a limiting belief about credibility. So he's got a limiting belief about identity, but then he's got this limiting belief about credibility. And it kind of goes two ways. Listen, this is what he says in verse 13. But Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name. This is what I love. It's almost like Moses is saying here, they aren't even going to know who you are. They've been in slavery for 400 years. They're not even going to know who am I supposed to tell them send me, because they you don't even have any credibility with them. It's almost like Moses is questioning God's credibility. They're not even going to know who you are, the God of their ancestors. You've been missing. You've been missing in action. God, Moses questioning God's credibility. And he says, so who should I tell them? And then God replies to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am because I am whatever you need me to be when you need me to be it. God begins to speak to Moses in this moment about who he is. So Moses is like, okay, maybe there's some credibility to you. And then he moves on to the next limitation of credibility in Exodus 4 verse 1. And he responds and Moses protests again. And this is what he says. He says, but what if they won't believe me or listen to me? Oh, now we're getting to the root of the issue. He wants to point his finger at God and say, I don't know if they're going to believe you, but here's the real problem. He said, they're not going to believe me. Even if they believe you, why would they listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Moses saying, well, even if I believe in myself, they're not going to believe in me. And they might not even believe in you. They might not even know who you are. And it's just a limiting belief about credibility, about who God is and what God can do and who you are in your identity and what God can do through you. And it takes us to the last excuse. And so we have this excuse about identity. I am not, therefore I cannot. I have this limited credibility. God, how are you going to use somebody like me? Do you not know my past? People don't even know who you are. All of these different things. And then we get to the third belief, and that is a limiting belief about capability. In verse 10 of Exodus 4, it says that Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I have never been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. What Moses is really saying here is even if, listen to this, even if I am who you say I am, that I really am the deliverer, if I really am the leader, even if I am who you say I am, and I am confident that you can make me credible in the situation, I'm still not capable for the assignment. Even if I believe it, I'm not capable enough to do it. And then the Lord responds in verse 11, and he says to Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send someone else. Whew. Moses is saying, God, I get that you made us. Okay, God, I'll surrender that. God, you made us. God, you made the mouth. God, you made, God, yes. I will submit that to you. You made us. I get that. But I am not convinced that you made me to do that. Oh yeah, you made us, you make the ears, you make the mouth, you make the brain, God, you made us, but I am not convinced that you made me for that assignment. You're gonna need to find somebody who has higher capability. You're gonna need to find somebody else. And in verse 14, and we can get somebody out to play on the keys as we close it. In verse 14, it says this, then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he speaks well, and look, he is on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. That's amazing. Moses keeps giving God excuses. I am not, therefore I cannot. You have no credibility, I have no credibility. Even if I have the right identity and I have credibility, I don't have the capability. He keeps giving God excuses, and God keeps giving him answers. And he says, okay, that's fine. I'm a little upset about this. However, I'm sending your brother Aaron right now. And he's already on his way. Are you telling me why you're thinking up your excuse? God is thinking up your solution? Moses hadn't even given God his excuse yet. And God is already sending his answer. See, you think your excuse is bigger than God, and God's already got the solution for it before you ever even give your excuse. Here Moses standing at the burning bush saying, I don't have the right identity. I'm not who you think I am. God, I don't know what you see in me, but I don't see it in me. I can't do that because I'm not that. I think there was a little bit of Moses' pain that came out. He said, where have you been for the last 400 years, man? My people have been suffering a long time, and now I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell them the God of their ancestors. Come on, man. Where you been? Are you going to send me back? The one that they ran out of town? I have no credibility with them. And capability? How am I going to stand in front of Pharaoh? I can't even talk. How am I going to stand in front of our people and eloquently communicate what you have called us to do? How am I going to do that? I have no capability. You're going to have to find someone else. And when you are in the middle of your excuse, God is in the middle of your solution. He says, that's okay, because I'm sending Aaron. And he's already on his way. And he's going to be so happy to see you. See, the thing that we find with Moses, and I just tell you this part of the story because we're more familiar with the next part of the story. That Moses goes back to Pharaoh. 10 plagues come upon the land. Finally, Pharaoh says, take your people and go. And Moses leads his people out, and he lifts his staff over the Red Sea and the waters part. They walk across. We are familiar with the highlights, but we need to understand the messy middle. Because when all we see is the water coming out of the rock and the Red Sea parting, we think, wow, there's no way I could ever be like Moses. But then when we see the excuses, we think, oh, maybe there's a chance for me. Because I got those same limiting beliefs that Moses had. I got a limiting belief about my identity. I cannot because I am not. I got a limiting belief about credibility. Because of the way that I've lived my life, who would ever listen to me? Who would ever believe somebody like me? And even if I had the right identity, and even if I had the credibility, God, I don't have the capability for the assignment that you've put in front of me. Listen to me, friends. Just like Moses, you don't have to let the dark moments define your life. You don't have to let the deep scars or the secret fears sit in the driver's seat of your life. You can allow God to bring the excuses out. Let them be exposed. Bring your secret fears and bring those solid excuses and bring them out to God and bring them out in the open. And what you will find is that God is not afraid of your excuses. God has solutions for your excuses. But we never get to the solution until first we get squeezed and the fear and the excuse is able to come out. And then you find, oh, God already has a plan for that too. And I love this at the end of the story. Moses takes the story that we just finished. Moses takes his next step. This is what a faith journey looks like. This is what a faith journey looks like. This tension and the struggle on the inside. It looks like 40 years in a place called Midian, wondering and wandering, well, will God ever do what he could do in me? It's 40 years. It's a season of life of bad decisions and poor choices and lack of, it's all of these things coming together. And saying, despite all of that, I'm just going to take one step forward. I'm just going to take one step forward. And that's exactly what Moses did. He just went back to his father-in-law. Said, God's appeared to me. He's called me to go back home. And then Moses starts his journey back home. Before the Red Sea, before all the miracles, before he stands in front of Pharaoh, he just took one step in the right direction. And that's what a faith journey looks like. God's not afraid of the excuses because God's the one who has the solutions. God's not afraid of your secret fears. He's not afraid of your deep scars because he is the one who can heal and he is the one who can restore and he is the one who can make right. He is not afraid of those things. But we can't be afraid to share those things. And whenever we share and express those things to God, only then do we get to take one step forward in this beautiful thing that God invites us into, a real faith journey with him. I want you to stand. We're going to throw the lead acrostic up on the screen. Faith is not the absence of fear or excuses, but the willingness to take one step forward. That's what we learned today. What are we evaluating? Our evaluation is this: do you have any secret fears or solid excuses like Moses? Do you have any secret fears? Do you have any solid excuses like Moses? And remember, if you have secret fears and solid excuses, you're in good company. Moses is in the Hall of Fame of Faith. There's only like 18 individuals that made it into Hebrews 11. Moses is one of them. So don't let your secret fears or your solid excuses keep you from what God has for you. The application is this. Express those fears and excuses and just take a step. The D is always the same. Just do it again. Listen, friends, it's not that the fears and excuses aren't there. The fear is there. The secret fear is there. It's real. The secret fear that comes from that deep scar, it is very real and it is very painful. The secret fear is real. And the solid excuses, listen, they are good excuses for a reason. Because there really is a reason. They are solid excuses. It's not that they aren't there. Listen, It's just that they don't get to determine my next move. They are there, but I'm taking one step forward towards God. They are there, but I'm going to take one step forward to where God is calling me to go. They are there, but I take one step forward today on this beautiful thing called a faith journey. I want you to bow your heads with me today. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your patience and your kindness with us. God, it's what we see in the story of Moses. We see how patient you were, how kind you were through all of the excuses. God, to actually provide a solution before Moses has even expressed his excuse, there was already an answer. There was already a solution, and it was already moving in his direction. God, that's how good you are. God, thank you that you are not intimidated and you are not afraid of our deep scars. You are not afraid or intimidated of our secret fears or our solid excuses. Friends, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, Moses made it. Hear me, Moses made it. Moses made it through the dark moments. Moses made it through the deep scars. Listen, Moses made it through his secret fears, and Moses made it through his solid excuses because he just kept on moving. He kept taking the next step. Maybe today you would say, Philip, I have some deep scars that came out of my dark moments. Maybe today you would even say, Philip, I have secret fears. I mean, they are really secret fears because I've never even expressed them to my spouse, to my brother, to my sister, to my closest friend. They are secret fears. They are so secret that maybe you don't even realize they are there right now. And the Holy Spirit can bring those up right now. They're operating at such a subconscious level because of those deep scars. And you don't even realize that those secret fears are even there. The Holy Spirit can begin to show you those things and reveal it to you even now in this moment. Maybe you say, Philip, I have some deep scars. Philip, I have some secret fears. And maybe you'd be willing today to say, Philip, I have some solid excuses. This is why I am the way I am. Because my family was dysfunctional. This is why I am the way I am. Because I did so many things to damage other people in the past. This is the reason I am the way that I am. Because there was so much rejection in my life. This is the way that I am. Because there were so many knockdown moments where I lost it all. This is why I am the way that I am. They are solid excuses. And you say, but today I want to give all of that to God. And I want to take one step forward on my faith journey. Say, Philip, that's me today. I've got those secret fears. I've got those solid excuses. But today I want to be like Moses. I want to be like Moses, and I want to expose them before God and say, God, I see it. God, I feel it. God, I know it. And God, I give it to you today, and I choose to take one step forward this beautiful journey of faith. Come on, if that's you in this room today, just shoot your hand up in the air. If you're willing to say, I've got some secret fears. I've got some deep scars. I've got some solid excuses, but I want to give it to God today and take one step forward on this faith journey. Come on, all over this place today. Will you just repeat this prayer after me? Everybody in the room, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know I need you. I need your love and your grace. I need your power and forgiveness. I believe you are who you say you are, and you can do what you say you can do. I am ready to take one step forward on my faith journey. I have some deep scars. I have some secret fears. I have some solid excuses. But I give them to you today. And I choose to take a step of faith. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the examples that you give us. God, I thank you for the examples in Hebrews chapter 11, the people that you put in the hall of fame. God, the people that you shine your accolades upon. Hey God, we see their struggle, and we see their limitations, and we see their fears, and we see their doubts. And God, we see the highs and the lows, and we see the confusion and the frustration. And God, we get to see it all. And yet, God, they are the people that you have chosen to put in this hall of fame of faith, is that these are people who walked by faith and lived by faithfulness. God, that's who we want to be. People who are not afraid of the messy middle, but people who will always say, despite it all, fears and excuses and scars, I take one step forward towards God and the future that he has for me. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray and believe. Come on, if you believe that today, put your hands together. Thank God for it today.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.